When was the last time you wept over a theological document? After nearly a quarter century in the corporate world, Alan and his wife existed in luxury and ease and attended a casual, entertainment-driven church, living out their American dream. But when they encountered the biblical doctrines of grace, grasping that by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8, they realized that their lives were not their own. At the same time that they stumbled across the theology of the Reformation, they also recognized their missionary call. They put themselves under biblical teaching and were sent to Africa to reach Muslims with the gospel in an international city. As they deepened in their understanding of Scripture, they became convinced that it was the task of missionaries to patiently establish healthy, organized, doctrinally rich churches. This led many of Alan's more pragmatic colleagues to disassociate from them, convinced Alan and his wife had become imbalanced fundamentalists, unwilling to properly adapt their church traditions to the local culture. Discouraged yet undaunted, Alan continued to build inroads into his community and began discipling a former Muslim, now a Christian, in leading his church plant. In a series of meetings with the up-and-coming pastor, Alan decided to teach through a historic confession of faith. As the missionary expanded an Arabic translation of the confession, the African pastor was brought to tears. "The first missionary who discipled me over 20 years ago taught me all these truths," he explained. "Then, for the past 20-plus years, numerous missionaries have told me that these doctrines were not true. I don't know what to believe," he lamented. During another study session, the pastor lay face down on the floor and cried out to the Lord for clarity in front of Alan. Many previous missionaries had failed to instruct the man in sound doctrine, teaching only a series of Bible stories and life lessons, robbing the new pastor of the richness of Christian tradition. Yet through Alan's ministry, this began to change. Have we, like Alan, allowed our theology to overwhelm us with a sense of our own indebtedness to the lost and unreached? Or, like Alan's colleagues, have we seen the plight of the lost and opted for quick fixes, reserving the best biblical teaching and theological resources for ourselves? There is a crisis in evangelical missions. A great gulf is fixed between the realm of theology and the world of missions. On one side of the rift, those who most love theology fall prey far too easily to Pharisaism, intellectualism, and apathy, keeping them from the front lines of missions. Young men pursue theological degrees, compete for a small handful of available ministry jobs to pay off their school debts and support their young families, settle into routines, and wake up decades later inside the evangelical cultural ghetto. On the other side of the rift, many of the most adventurous, risk-taking mission workers are trained to check their theology at the door of their sending organization and learn a host of man-centered ministry tactics that stem from cultural relativism. These missionaries are told that the same gospel-centered, doctrine-rich teaching that builds faithful churches in the West won't work elsewhere in the world, and that some new and different insight from sociology is needed in non-Western cultures. When we fail to savor and apply our theology, a lack of zeal for missions is never far off.